Welcome to the Conversations About Light podcast, a King's Cross podcast illuminating our desire to engage in light-hearted conversations that are grounded in Scripture. Our hope is that through these conversations, our community will be encouraged and grow in their curiosity about light.
All right, welcome to our season finale, the final episode of Conversations About Light for the series of Luke. We've made it this far. Well done.
Woohoo, thank you.
Yeah, what an awesome series it's been. We'll get into it in a moment, but before we do, how are we going today?
Yeah, I'm going really well, man. And well done on starting this podcast, Caleb. I think you've done a great job producing it and getting it going. It's been great.
Thanks for the encouragement, Mark. Had lots of help from yourself and Josh as well, so it's definitely been a team effort. Yeah.
Right. Loved it. I've loved it. It's been wonderful.
Yeah, so here we are on the other side of your long service leave, Josh.
Yes, I had a lovely time. Thanks, Caleb. It was beautiful. It was gorgeous. I'm very relaxed. I don't feel stressed.
Nice. That's good. It's a good way to approach it.
That's right. Yeah. For the listeners out there, we're recording this before my long service leave. I'm just happy to be here sitting at Mark's feet because he's standing today. Yeah. Just to humbly learn and sit at his feet is such a privilege. Yeah.
You did say you like getting spoken down to. Yeah. Why are you standing today, Mark?
I've sat the whole week and my back is sore, so I'm standing for comfort, but I regret the decision to do that now. I wished I was lying down.
You've just got such a gentle countenance.
Good.
I love how awkward these conversations can get at the start. Beautiful. All right, so looking back at the series of Luke, what are your guys' reflections?
Yeah, it's been a great series. One of the big things I think that's impacted me, and we did it on purpose, was trying to look at Jesus in the series. The series is called Jesus in Luke, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, it's been wonderful, but also revealing, if that makes sense. So getting to know Jesus, you always think you know him, but when you do a study like this, you kind of, oh, wow, yeah, Jesus really is pushing in areas which I'm ignoring or challenging things that I'm used to. And so I think I've just been challenged by who Jesus is afresh. That's been a big part of this series. And I've just been surprised by his dust and deity, if that makes sense. There's a phrase I read last week about he came, his humanity, but his deity at the same time. It's just amazing, mind-blowing, and just, yeah, really impacted by who Jesus is.
Yeah, well.
How about yourself, Mark?
I love that. I think I've been surprised as well because we set the series up for the church and we gave it a title, but then along the way kind of got surprised by the content, really, and discovering the Jesus that's here and the Jesus that's real. I think in some ways quite convicted. Like Josh said, I think, well, that you create a Jesus in your own image. You start to get familiar and comfortable with the Jesus that you are comfortable with, and then you study a text and you just get confronted with Jesus is more than what you're comfortable with. There's parts of him that are as real, that are confronting and challenging, and that's been quite wonderful because all of Jesus is good, but not all of Jesus is comfortable or what I would design. So I agree with Josh. I think another aspect for me, and probably giving a context to it, I think what happens is there's the obvious like stated content that comes across from Luke, but then there's also the heart of it. There's a spirit of Luke that's more nuanced than that. And I think you get that. If you go hang out with someone, regardless of what you speak about or you'll pick something up from them, whatever they're about and whatever you're about, there'll be a transference. And I remember when Michael Eaton, the theologian, came and lived in my house for 3 weeks, and no matter what we spoke about, he just made me want to read the Bible. Wow. And we hardly ever spoke about the Bible, but he always made me want to read the Bible just being in the room with him. Or I imagine if you were like with Matt Redman for a week or sat in the cafe with him, you would just want to start singing at some point. Like, I just want to worship God. Or if you've hung out with Mike Pilavachi, you just want to start walking up to people at airports and praying for them to get, there's just a transference of spirit. And I think what happened for me in Luke was something of his clear understanding and record of Jesus's focus on the kingdom of God and eternity. Yeah. It's one thing to know the content about that. It's another thing to be infused with the spirit of that. And I think that's what I experienced in my own life as we went through Luke, something of Luke's clear understanding of the priority of the kingdom of God, of eternity, of living now for then, really started to get to my heart. And I get to the end of it. I think there's, I'll tell you what happened, and hopefully you can forgive me with a personal, for a personal story. But at some point during Luke, I got, my dermatologist said I had skin cancer. And when he said the C word, my mind just raced to like, this could be the end. Cause you just, that's all you see on Australian like commercials and stuff, right? If you get, it's like a death sentence. And in that split second, I went through everything, my marriage, my family, the church, my life. And what I found where Luke had taken me was instead of a fear and an anxiety and like a regret, there was actually just a joy. Like it was like, oh my gosh, I may go to see Jesus sooner than I thought.
Wow.
And it was like, this is awesome. And I was like, I know God will take care of my wife. I know God will take care of my kids. I know King's Cross is Jesus's anyway. Hmm. Right, I'm set. This is gonna be okay. And then he finished his sentence and said it was nothing really major and everything will be fine. Wow. And I don't want to say it was disappointing to hear that, but I'm just saying where Luke got me to was the reality of we can live our lives now with the future in mind, and we can take our time and our finances and our affections and our friendships and everything and point them towards how does this matter for the kingdom of God and how do we live for eternity? Mm. And that's really been a shift for me.
Yeah. Wow. What's some things that you've taken away from it, Josh?
From the series, yeah. I love what Mark's describing, the internal change. I think for me, I might try and describe some of those internal challenges or changes in process. Like when I say Jesus surprised me in this series, I find him, when he arrives and weeps over Jerusalem, this is the people who've rejected him and he's weeping, the compassion of Jesus. And then I functionally believe that. Like, yeah, we ought to be compassionate. But then I look into my life and I go, that's not me. When people upset me, I don't weep over them. And so I think that's what I mean by what I'm taking out of this is as I've seen Jesus, it's like I functionally, theologically believe that, but in my heart and in my life, I don't see that in my life. And so I think in a few areas, it just kept happening, I guess, and maybe that says more about me than anyone else. But I think also even then Jesus teaching on money, when through those parable after parable, it's like, and you're like, yeah, God's view on money is my view. And then you go, oh, it's not really. I still am very possessive of it or make lots of excuses about it. Like, of course I need money because X, Y, and Z. But in a sense, it still has my heart in some way. It's like, again, just being unhinged by the teaching of Jesus, the person of Jesus. I think even just his call for everything and his authority and surrender was another part, just coming to the back end where he clearly knows everything as he marches into Jerusalem. He clearly has authority over everything. And then that he is the king, and I functionally believe it or theologically believe it, but functionally it doesn't shape up like that in my in my sort of day-to-day. And so I think those were big challenges as we've kind of gone through each different section I still have heart change to do. I still have practical life to shift, and where does my heart what does my heart actually long for? So I think those have been some big things. Mm. Maybe the second group is related to that. I think is the way I've molded Jesus into my image. I think we spoke about earlier. So that's been what I'm taking away as well. Like, we just automatically assume Jesus has the same vibe as us. So if I'm big on
He is a powerful
human. Yeah, he is a powerful human.
Like you.
Yes, the most powerful. But I think I'll give you a couple of examples. I'm not saying any of these or all of them might be mine at various points, but if you're big on social justice, then you think Jesus' main point of his whole ministry is social justice, and you just make it all about that. And in one sense it is, but in another very real sense it's also not. And so it's like, it breaks down my – in a sense, idol, you can have an idol, I think, of social justice or politics. We like read it with our political influence, or we, or even our view on community. We make, you know, so we kind of, whatever's in our hearts, we push it onto Jesus and make him sing our song. Right. Whereas I'm kind of taking home like, wow, I do that. And I ought not to. And how do I let Jesus sing his song, not my song, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like what Mark was saying before, how you can get very comfortable with a certain image or display of Jesus, but Luke's really unraveled that that comfortable picture that you may have approached him with before.
Yeah, totally. And I think also what Mark was alluding to earlier, there's the other aspect of that is the goodness and the perfection and the who Jesus actually is, which is like, wow. I mean, Mark's story about what I get to be with Jesus. I think that kind of sense, it's not just a like, oh, I ought not to, but it's a, wow, what is there in Jesus is kind of the other side of that, is the reason for all of that. I think the reason you're drawn to him and you're excited about knowing him is because he's so good and so amazing.
Yeah. You've sort of both touched a bit on this, but it would be great to unpack a bit further, but how are you seeing it become a part of your life, your faith?
Yeah, I think the idea of having eternity in the front of your mind and that's your home and you relocated your heart and your, that has become very much a reality in my life. And the interesting thing that it's done is it's actually like liberated me. And my personality, it's brought a lot of freedom. So you'd think, this is what I would think. If you're living for eternity, your life's going to look increasingly like Mother Teresa, you know, or a Christian version of Gandhi or something like, you know, like turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face and the things of this world will grow strangely dim, kind of logic, you know. And it's true. But at the same time, I found that the more real the eternal life has become real to me through Luke, the more wonderful this life has become. So the more wonderful time with my wife has been, or the more real, like when we're thinking about how do we want to plan for our future, like it doesn't feel like you would take that less seriously. It feels like you would take that more seriously. Like you, let's just, we have the freedom in Christ. This life isn't the be all and end all. So what do we want to do? What do we want to do with it? And so it hasn't made us these kind of weird hermits that like don't care for anything and couldn't be bothered about anything. If anything, it's helped my heart to love things better, I think, or love things more, which has been only God. Like only God can be so secure that he can make you or command you to love him above all things. And as you do more and more, you find that in return, he goes and love everything else rightly, you know. Yeah. And he just liberates you to give your time to others or to things or to, so like in this time, we've done something like we've bought a car because my kids outgrew the little car in the Luke series. How can you do that while you get gaining a heart for eternality? Well, in some ways it's like, well, as my heart started to latch onto the future, the practical reality of needing to drive around in a car is like, yes, yeah, just go get it done. Yeah. It's not a big deal. As opposed to what I might have thought, like, nah, yeah, whatever. I will go around in circles. But I think that shows just kind of how it's becoming part of my life. Mm.
Yeah. It's very cool how there's like a link between Jesus impacting your heart and that having an impact on your relationships as well.
Yeah.
It's like 100%. When God transforms or changes our hearts, then our community around us should in turn be like positively affected by that. So that's really like your family's being positively affected by that freedom and that liberty that you felt in just even the practical example of purchasing a new car. Very cool.
I think in your friendships, like you're using a great example in your friendships, and it's like when you look at someone, I'm just thinking, you know, you're also, we're doing this together, but you're also my good friend. It's like I'm gonna spend eternity with you, but we're already in friendship now. So it just makes the friendship even more wonderful, because it's not just a coffee now with someone who's a friend. You know, it's like with someone you're going to spend eternity with. That's precious. It just makes everything better. A little more wonderful and better.
Yeah.
And you start investing. I think you start investing more, but not with like your identity, just in your freedom, you start investing more in the lives of others and whatever else it is. Yeah, what about you, Josh?
I love that. I think in the sense that Jesus above all aspect becomes beautiful, right? So when you say that sentence, it seems like it should be difficult or horrible and so on. Oh, Jesus is going to take over everything? What? Why? Oh, don't I? But so I think in our culture that sounds weird. Like, oh, do you want to put someone else in charge of everything? But I think like you're describing, when the realities of Christ and eternity with him become real, or you see them properly, not just mentally assent, but they actually begin to sing into your heart, it really shifts you. Everything becomes more wonderful. Everything becomes beautiful. Even the mundane things, even mundane ministry, if you want to use that term, like things that are my day-to-day, my job, my work, my whatever I have to do on a day, that mundane aspects of ministry, it's only my soul poverty that riles against that. It's like there's a deficiency in me, like, oh, that's just, you know, but actually Jesus is more wonderful, is more beautiful, and when that becomes real, and again, I think I said this the other day, you can't fake this sort of stuff. If something's boring and mundane to you, it's boring and mundane to you.
Yeah, good.
But if Jesus is who he says he is, and I've really seen him, really my heart's been captured, and then mundane ministry is no longer mundane. So I don't know, ministry might be the wrong word, just day-to-day life with Jesus.
Yeah.
And because there is a war that rages, right, in my heart, that soul poverty in my heart wants to rage against all of that and just assume that it ought to be not so. But I don't know, not sure I'm explaining very well, but I think that really is actually exciting, is really wonderful and like you say, transforming.
Yeah, I wonder how many of us listening have had like a similar sort of journey as we've gone through Luke in terms of that understanding of, we had one view of who Jesus was before, and then as we've journeyed through the book of Luke, we begin to see the reality of who he is, the wonder that comes from noticing him in his beauty and his glory and in his humanity, which is very different to our perceptions of him. So I suppose just in landing, perhaps an encouragement would be to grab a friend that perhaps you're doing spiritual friendships with and just go over what stood out to you in the book of Luke. What did you get out of it? What did you enjoy? Just ask those questions to each other and have a discussion similar to what we've done here today.